This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And we are going to dig into some good old-fashioned corruption, recruiting, some Independence Day stuff, pediatric care, what a disaster that industry's become, emails, and many other things coming up this hour on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. For those who are wondering, my fingers are healing up nicely. All right, I feel like the blisters are going down and everything's healing up nicely from that little deep fryer incident last night. Now, here's the thing about the military, but it really applies to so many things in life. Leadership, when you get in a position of leadership, it can be really, really intoxicating, and it can be very easy when you're in charge of other people to, I want to say think less of them, but it's actually more complicated than that, to think as if you are so above them that they are dumb, not as smart as you are, of course, unaware of what needs to be done, and it's very easy to convince yourself that the little people don't matter. But here's the thing, whether you're an employer, whether you're a leader in the business world, in your home, in your church, whether you're a coach or whatever the case may be, the people you lead, just because you're the leader and they're the followers, that doesn't make you smarter than them. And collectively, they are often very, very, very intelligent. And this is kind of the point I'm going to make, because we're going to get to Pentagon corruption and cover-up and leadership again. In the military, there is a division. And this is common throughout militaries around the world. There are officers, and then there are enlisted. I know this is very basic stuff, but a lot of people don't realize this. There are what are considered enlisted troops, and then there are officers. Officers are leaders, always. If you have a platoon, there will be an officer, a platoon commander in charge. He is the officer. And even though you may have an enlisted guy, he's the top enlisted man in that platoon. Let's say you have a staff sergeant, and he's been in the Marine Corps for 12 years, and he knows everything, and he's really switched on. If you have an officer graduate college and he gets through OCS in the Marine Corps and he's an officer and he spent 5 minutes in the fleet, he still is technically in charge of that 12-year staff sergeant. That's how it works. And you can complain about that, and we all did, but there is a purpose for this. Officers are supposed to be there to lead men, to control men, lead men. They have an important role to play, as much as I dog on officers. But that in and of itself can become intoxicating. Imagine graduating college, 23, 24 years old. You get through Marine OCS, and all of a sudden you are the man in front of a group of 50 infantry Marines. Every time you speak, it's yes, sir. No, sir. Absolutely, sir. Go climb that rope. Go. I'm on the way, sir. Can get to your head, can it? And then you start to get promoted, and you go from having 50 men underneath you to 100, 200, 1,000, an entire base, 20,000. How high can you go? All these people serve underneath you. And what can happen is you can convince yourself with enough time, you can convince yourself that you are simply of a higher class. You were of a higher breed. And oh, you, even if you like, even if you respect all these troops, you may look out at the 18-year-old private first class and think to yourself, look at that young Marine. He's just kind of a poor, dumb soul. but I'm here to lead him into battle. You can find yourself looking down on people. This can happen. This is not a military thing, I should note. This can happen when you're a coach, when you're a teacher, when you're an employer. Like I said, when you're anything, you can find yourself looking down on the people who technically work underneath you. And what happens when you do that is you don't realize you aren't fooling anybody. Whatever you are, whatever your motivations are, the people who serve underneath you know it. If you're a boss at work, if you're a manager, you're an assistant manager right now, and let's say you're a mega ambitious type, and that's good, I hope you are, but let's say you're one of these people with no moral founding whatsoever, and you'd screw anybody over, and you'd throw anyone under the bus to get the next promotion, you might think all those people who work in your department under you don't know it. They all know it, and they all talk about it behind your back. All of them. Whatever you are, your men know it. And this brings me to the crisis we have in the military, a crisis that has been going on for 50 years now. This really was a Vietnam thing, is where so much of this began. You see, back before Vietnam, the norm throughout not American history, all of human history was, if you were a commander of any kind in the military, you knew you might get sacked at any moment. At any moment, you could be fired. Shoot, if you go back to the ancient world, they'll fire you, and then they'll pull your fingernails out and hang you. They'll kill you. And it doesn't even have to be for corruption or malfeasance. You can just be an idiot, or you can even have something not go your way that wasn't even your fault. Nope, you're gonna die for your failure. That's how so much of the world worked. Here in America, thankfully, we're not killing our generals and admirals when they fail. But if you go look at any history before Vietnam, no matter where it is, you will find general fired, admiral fired, general fired, fired, fired. It's honestly, when I read books, especially World War I books, World War II books, so you know, we'll stick with World War II. Honestly, maybe I have hindsight that's 2020, and that's probably what it is. Me, this is jerk me, you know me. I even read things and I think, I feel like that was a little too far. I don't know that they had to fire everyone right away. I don't know that that guy deserved to get fired. I'm looking at it, harsh Jesse, and I say to myself, golly, whew, ease up a little. It wasn't his fault. That's how often flag officers, that means high-ranking officers, that's how often flag officers got canned. Now, why was that? Well, it's the only way to run a military, because the people at the bottom, the enlisted troops, they are ultra accountable. If I'm a PFC, a Lance Corporal, a Corporal, if I'm a young enlisted Marine, which I was at one time, I am extremely accountable. We would have, just to explain to those who didn't serve, if we had a hump coming up and they would give you required things you had to put in your pack to make sure everyone was carrying enough weight, and it would be crazy things, you know, things that made sense, but socks. Why do I have to pack 6 pairs of socks? Let's just say 6 pairs of socks was on the list. Not only did I have to have it, they would do an inspection where you had to have everything that was about to go in your pack laid out on the ground, and go ahead and have 5 pairs of socks instead of the 6 pairs of socks you're required to. You will want to die, because your next 24 hours is going to be a living hell. Your entire life is accountability. If I'm in charge of, let's say I'm in charge of four guys. We'll make it a fire team. I'm a fire team leader. It's 4 of us. And I'm supposed to be at some place at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Sorry, I'm supposed to be at some place at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And let's say we get a flat tire. We get a flat tire and everything goes bad. We're on the way there and we show up at 1405, at 2:05. My life's going to be a living hell. I was given a job. My team was not there. There's no ifs, ands, buts. There are no excuses. You are held accountable. It's your fault. You will be punished. You're in trouble. That's how it works for the men and women on the ground. And that's good. You need it to work that way. I can complain to you all I want, but that's healthy. Learning about accountability and making sure you get the job done and no excuses and things like that. Those are good, healthy things. But you will shatter your military over time if it's only the men and women on the ground who are ever held to account. You can get away with that if it's for everybody. If accountability's only for some, you will destroy a military of any kind. And it's happening right now in this country. I'll tell you this latest story in a second. Speaking of the military, would you like to shoot like a Green Beret? Well, look, I can't promise you're going to be able to shoot like a Green Beret. I can't shoot like a Green Beret. But I can tell you how they train. At least I know one of the things for sure they train with. Marines, too. Mantis X. Mantis X is one of those things. The best shooters in the world use it. You know that 90% of your practice should be dry fire practice with your weapon. Did you know that? You think you have to go to the range and drop $100 on ammo every Saturday. You don't. Spend 20 minutes in your living room. You know that Mantis X will put you through drills in your living room, in your air conditioning, in your office, wherever. They'll keep score. You'll track your progress. They'll give you feedback. It's like having a coach in your hands. The professionals use Mantis X because Mantis X will get you really fast and really deadly. Over enough time, it will. Whether you're mega experienced or maybe you're just starting out, I'm too nervous to go to the range. Mantis X is how you learn to shoot your weapon well. MantisX.com. Go get one. MantisX.com. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. On a Tuesday, reminding you tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday. Email your questions in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So the latest and worst about the lack of accountability in the military is there's a California National Guard wing, and I actually don't want to name this colonel because we're never going to know the truth about the misconduct. All kinds of terrible accusations levied against this colonel. It's really bad, and we don't have to go into the details of it. But the point of the story is this. Here's the headline from the Daily Caller. The Biden Pentagon reportedly worked behind the scenes to throw out the probe's findings on the top commander's misconduct. Of course, this lady was put into place by Biden. Now, I'm not focusing on this individual story. The problem is, I don't have to focus on this individual story because this has become a widespread problem since Vietnam in the military, and it is rotting out the military because the problem is accelerating. The problem is this. None of the powers that be, the high-ranking officers, none of the big shots who work in the Pentagon, they got colonel's wings on them, they got general stars on them, whatever they have on them, none of them want to hold each other to account. So there's never any accountability for gigantic failures at the command level of the military. At the same time, the accountability for the people on the ground, the enlisted people on the ground, has remained. So the private first class, he'll still have to do 1,000 push-ups for forgetting a pair of socks. But if the general gets caught red-handed, screwing something up, or even worse, committing some terrible act of corruption, the other people in the top brass will rally around him, protect him, guard his career, and they think they're getting away with this. All these officers, they sit around with their fancy scotch and they congratulate each other about the shiny things sitting on their shoulders, and they don't take into account the fact you're part of the reason we can't recruit anymore, and you're part of the reason we can't retain anymore, because the people, the men and women on the ground, they're not stupid. I know you think they're dumb and they're enlisted and they didn't go to college and they don't know any better. They see right through your dirty butt and they know you suck and they know you're not accountable and you don't hold other officers accountable and they won't serve under it. That is not leadership. the rot inside of our military is so deep. And let me explain to you why you don't know it. Why most people don't know it. Everyone who was in knows it. Everybody who was in knows it. The guys who listen who are currently in know it. They know it. They see it everywhere. But you know why the general population doesn't know it? And I'm really worried about this. They don't know it because people haven't died. And let me clarify. I know people have died. Like our 13 warriors in Afghanistan who just died. A big reason why they died was negligence by their officers. No one was held to account. We drone strike 10 innocent people. No one was held to account. But when I say people haven't died, this is what I mean. Enough people haven't died. We have little samples here and little samples there. And even the combat, even the conflicts we've had, I'm not at all obviously dismissive about the loss of life and limb in Iraq and Afghanistan. I stepped foot in Iraq for long enough myself. So I'm not dismissing a single dead body. But what kind of numbers are we talking about? Not the kind of numbers that will wake the public up. We haven't had a major war, a war that's major enough to clue in the general public how bad the rot has been. We've been blowing up terrorists in Iraq and Afghanistan, and obviously we served really well, and we are our infantry troops are so, so good. Our pilots are so good. Our artillery, American artillery, is just phenomenal. So we do have so many great things going on. I'm not denying that. But the leadership, at the high-ranking leadership level, we are not ready. And you can't make Norm and Norma understand or care about this until an aircraft carrier goes to the bottom of the Pacific. You can't. We're too used to winning. We're too used to at least winning engagements. You know, I realize we pulled out of Afghanistan, pulled out of Iraq, and those things didn't necessarily work out the way some people had planned. I get all that. But we're not used to, you know, if we're not used to at all. 1,000 on 1,000. You know what? My battalion versus your Chinese battalion. Well, of course, we're going to win. It's all we've ever known, right? Wait till the day comes when we take on a military with similar training, with a similar budget, and then we will see. Because what's happening, what my biggest fear is, the men and women on the ground, they're going to be the ones who pay with their lives, and they will. Lack of accountability in the military is not a small thing, it's everything. And it's why so many people are leaving. They're done with it. All right? All right. All right, let's do some emails, talk about some other things. Let's also talk about this. Let's talk about MyPillow. Specifically, I want to talk to you for a moment about the wonder and glory of sandals. Specifically, MyPillow sandals. Now, you already know the truth because they sell out every time. If you've gone to MyPillow.com and you've looked, maybe they're even sold out of your size. Well, I warned you. Right when the $25 extravaganza sale came down, I warned you, you better jump on the sandals. Why does everyone snatch the sandals up so fast? Buy one pair and you will know why. These are unlike any sandals I've ever worn in my entire life. If it wasn't for my wife, I'd have them on as we speak right now. Indoor, outdoor, taking the trash out, doesn't matter what I'm doing. I wear them around the house all day long. They hold your foot. I don't even know how to describe it. And they have so much support that your knees, your back don't bother you at the end of the day. You could have a standing job in these daggone things. They're $25 right now. Six-piece towel sets, $25. Premium MyPillows, $25. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. Or you could call them. Maybe you're a phone person. 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's do some emails. Jesse, You're telling people to go to the office if they have a choice. Okay, let me recap this before I get into the email. I know this is the era of remote work. I get that. And I also get that working remotely is glorious. I know it is. It's wonderful. Wake up, coffee in your jammies, you're doing your work from your couch. I understand it. You got a little Muffy there. Oh, little Muffy needs some snuggles. I understand. And I understand many jobs are only remote jobs. If so, if this doesn't apply to you, don't apply it to you. I'm speaking to the people who have an option. You work in proximity of your office, and they've done this new age hippie thing where, just come in if you feel like it. And I know how tempting it would be to stay home. I'm just going to work remote. My jammies today. I don't care how many Zoom meetings they invent. There is no substitute for your physical presence in the office if you're trying to keep your job, get promoted, and march along. The boss isn't going to Zoom you in your jammies if he feels like grabbing a beer on a Friday afternoon with someone and his eyes go looking around the office for whoever might interest him that afternoon. And you know what? The way the world works is you get that next promotion golfing with the boss, having some cheese sticks with the boss, having a moment in the conference room with the boss. Hey, boss, I had an idea. Just wanted to run something by you. The boss seeing you physically there, caring enough to physically be there, matters. So that's what I've always said. I got this email. Jesse, you're telling people to go to the office if they have the choice. I run my own business, but we are also part of a conglomerate, so I don't need to ever go to the office, and I don't have a boss. But I was at the office today and was asked to play golf next week with one of our big wholesalers because, and I quote, they need one more. I echo what you say. Go to the office. It doesn't even need to be for a full 8-hour day if you can work elsewhere. But make yourself seen. Make yourself seen. Especially in an economy that's heading into some rocky times. Employers are all looking at profit loss sheets right now. And that labor number is always an ugly number. And it's always a number they're going to try to figure out how to reduce. And sometimes, look, layoffs and things like that, they happen to all of us. That's everybody. It's just the way life goes. I'm not saying that. But when the boss decides that labor number is too big, how many employees do we have? 20? 2,000? I don't know where you work. Whatever. We'll make it. How many employees do we have? 20? Bring me the list. And he starts going down that list. When he gets to your name, when's the last time he saw you in the office? You know what? You know, forget about just seeing you in the office. When's the last time? Were you there when he was really proud? You see, he came into work and his daughter, for the first time, she made the honor roll. And he hung up with her right before he walked into the office. And he was so excited. And he walked into the conference room to get a cup of coffee. And he wanted to tell someone about it. Was that you? Or were you at home in your jammies? Because the person he saw, who listened, asked him questions, was happy for him. Whose name do you think is more likely to get crossed off that 20-person list? Do you think in that moment he's going to Zoom everyone? I just want everyone to know. Zoom call at 3 o'clock. Nope. Be present as much as you can. Dear Junior College, a smart guy once said democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. You can take credit. Stay focused. His name is Clay. Well, it was a very smart guy. His name is Benjamin Franklin. That was a smart guy. And me. Really, both of us kind of came up with that quote at different times. Really, he was probably a little bit before me, but I also say that and would have thought of it without him. So really, that quote belongs to both of us. Did you see this out of St. Petersburg, Florida? There's an 18-year-old. His name's Christian Meyer. They decided to paint one of these rainbow freak murals in the room.
Why are you gay?
dude gets in his car or truck and he goes and does a bunch of donuts on it. He goes and leaves a bunch of skid marks in the road on purpose, obviously. Didn't want that filth in his town. He has now been charged with a felony. Felony criminal mischief. He's facing up to 5 years in the clink. Now, the good news is Heavy D, the great governor in this country, apparently he's already on it. And knowing him, he's going to make this whole thing go away because it's ridiculous. But remember, nations, all nations have religions. And virtually every nation, well, at least most of them, they have blasphemy laws as well. If you want to know why you would face felony charges for doing donuts in the road, well, here in the U.S. of Gay, you're not just allowed to insult our national religion. There, of course, has to be a penalty for that. And that actually brings me perfectly to this. Texas, this will apply to everyone to stay with me, and Big Pharma. Texas was having a big argument recently. They're still having it, but whatever, having a big argument about all this child tranny stuff. And there were all kinds of forces at work here. People who wanted it stopped, people who were all about it. And there were lots and lots of activist groups who popped up wanting children to get these ridiculous child mutilation surgeries in the state of Texas. Did you know that much of the dark money that funded the pro-child tranny lobby, did you know it was Big Pharma money? How evil is that? You see, for the big pharmaceutical industry, the big medical industry, not pharmaceutical, let's not just make it about Big Pharma, all of them. Mutilating children might be demonic and horrible and wrong and ruin lives, but it's also really, really, really good for your bank account if you happen to be Texas Children's Hospital. If you're Big Pharma and you sell these ridiculous, horrific drugs that block things, that destroy things chemically inside of a body, that's big, big, big money for the pharmaceutical industry. I just want everyone to understand how deep the rot goes. Here's one from the Daily Caller. Major pediatric medical organization, it's the American Academy of Pediatrics, I should note. Major pediatric medical organization plotting ways to circumvent child sex change bans, according to an email. They got a hold of an email. You see, we have to adjust so much of how we think about things because the communist has conquered so much and he's rotted so much out from underneath us. The truth is, when you think of pediatrics, look, I'll tell you right now, I think of a children's doctor. Our kids had a doctor back when we lived in Tucson. Remember, I ran for Congress back in Tucson and lost. Anyway, we had a children's doctor, a pediatrician back then. I still remember, his name was Charlie. I won't tell you his last name, it doesn't matter now. But he was just the best. He was the best. Hanging out with the kids, he would figure out what was wrong, if anything was wrong. He was just the ultimate doctor for kids. It's what I think of a pediatrician or pediatrics. I think of this group of doctors and nurses who have a heart for kids. And I'm sure there are many who do. Let me clarify that. But the major medical organizations, the major medical bodies over them, demonic and evil. And that's a fact. That's a fact. All right. Speaking of which, now you have a better understanding of why exactly I prefer natural supplements now. Natural things. I prefer natural herbal supplements. It's my first stop, not my last stop now. When I have something I want improved upon, I go to Chalk.com immediately. Not only are they anti-communists at Chalk, that's C-H-O-Q, by the way, C-H-O-Q. Not only are they anti-communists, their supplements, they have the best in the world. They spend so much time and money on research and working things out. And they're helpful because I don't know everything about this stuff. I have questions. If I have something I want help with, I ask. If I have a product of theirs I have a question about, I ask. This isn't some gigantic heartless corporation that's just taking orders. Reach out to them. They have big discounts on subscriptions for life. Call them. Text them. 50CHOQ3000. 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I do need to remind you that tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday, because it's Independence Day weekend after that. So email your questions and whatever you want to know right now to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com, like this one. Shogun Oracle, my wife and I have a disagreement that needs your sage wisdom. I grew up in a rural area with the nearest neighbor over a mile away. She's from the suburbs, so she grew up differently than I. When is too early to mow the yard on the weekends? I say anytime after 10 a.m. She says I have to wait until at least noon. We await your ruling. His name is Casey. Okay. Now, maybe I'm just old, but why can't you mow the lawn at 10 a.m.? Who sleeps in past 10 a.m. on the weekends? Oh my gosh, Chris, really? What is wrong with you? You're up till 3? What are you doing till 3 a.m.? Okay, that's a great answer. He said, whatever I want. Okay, all right. We're set Jewish producer Chris aside for a moment. Who sleeps in past 10 a.m.? What are we, a bunch of... My kids don't even do that. There's no way. I would never allow it. But still, 10 a.m. is totally acceptable to mow the lawn. Totally acceptable. Now, look, there are limits. Hey, don't get up at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning and mow the lawn. Yeah, that's slow down. 10 a.m.? By the time it hits 10 a.m., I can do whatever I want. At 10 a.m., it's my world now. There's no longer any consideration for you. Oh, did you hear this? I forgot to play this for you earlier. This is Simone Sanders. Now, Simone Sanders was a Bernie girl. She was a Bernie Sanders girl, right? I need to make that clear before I play this.
So I would just argue that the best way for the Biden campaign to really... They won't be able to stop the talk. Every single thing is going to be viewed through the prism of what happened on that debate stage. But I think a way to really blunt some of the criticism is, in fact, to, you know, let the president, put the president out there in various ways in which that, you know, he will shine. And again, I think town halls, doing things with voters, real people, where he is answering questions from regular folks will make the difference. And I do think the president could rise to that occasion.
Am I the most cynical person on the planet when I say she's working against Joe Biden? Let's put him out there. Let's have him do town halls. Let's have him converse with people. These are the things he can't do. And she knows he can't do them. She knows this. This is a high-ranking Democrat Party operative. She knows that Joe Biden is not functional. He is not a functional adult any longer, and he's definitely not functional later in the day. I'm telling you, they're trying everything in their power, even in the nice ways, to knife him. And they're going to have to deal with Dome, because she's going to make this a black thing, a black woman thing. She's already got her surrogates out there.
First of all, there's a long list of Democrats. Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer. The list goes on and on and on. You've named 4 or 5 people. Where is their consensus? You've got to build consensus. And there is not consensus right now. If you pick a white man over Kamala Harris, black women, I can tell you this, we're going to walk away. We're going to blow the party up.
Take that as the threat it most definitely was. Oh, and this, I mentioned this earlier. AOC. I do admire how the communist doesn't take his eyes off the ball. She's set to file articles of impeachment against the Supreme Court. Now, that's not a thing that's going to happen this time. Don't worry about that. The Supreme Court, the good ones, they aren't getting impeached. Don't worry about that. But it does show you when the communist picks a target and finds something, they go after it and after it and after it and after it until they get it. I've used the example before, and it really works well. Just think of society. Think of our society as a gigantic stone statue. It is our job to make sure that statue remains standing. The communist views it as his job to bring the statue down. That means we have to keep him away from it. Now, he's going to do whatever he can do to bring it down, even if it means running up to it, and maybe he gets just a wee little chip of it off with a hammer before we manage to push him back. He still, in his mind, succeeded, even in a small way, because in the end, whether he's attaching demo cord to it or taking a wee little chip, that statue is weaker the next day than it was the day before because of his efforts to bring it down. They are relentless. They never stop destroying, moving forward, eating things up. It's what they do so well. They got this huge loss at the Supreme Court. They're not backing off, slowing down at all. Always moving forward, and it is something we could take a lesson from. Oh, did you sign the pledge yet? I need you to sign that pledge for me. I take that back. That is a little too extreme. I don't need you to sign it. I'm asking you to sign the pledge. What is the pledge? It's from IFCJ, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. It's a pledge that's simply going to be handed to Netanyahu. And why do they need that? Why do they care? Well, when they turn on the American media, what do they see? They think everyone hates them here, too, because it's all over college campuses and everything else. This is just a way to say, hey, people are praying for you. People are rooting for you. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to give anything. It requires nothing of you but a minute, 2 minutes of your time, depending on how good you are at the internet. Go sign the pledge. Support IFCJ.org. All right? Support IFCJ.org.
And now...
here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Biden slams SCOTUS presidential immunity ruling, ignores questions about dropping out. Yes, that was yesterday. Biden goes out and blasts the Supreme Court both barrels. Just know, there was a time when you really didn't see this kind of thing in the country, but all the brakes are off on the left now, and we're seeing what happens when the brakes are off. Tennessee law allowing the death penalty for pedophiles goes into effect, and only Democrats oppose it. It is odd how protective of pedophiles Democrats are. Don't you think that is odd? It is just wild how whenever you find any politician who's trying to ease the penalties on pedophiles, make things easier for pedophiles, it's always a Democrat. Huh. I wonder why that is. Company behind Redbox DVD kiosks declares bankruptcy. I'll be honest with you, I had no idea how these people were hanging on anyway, because no one buys or rents DVDs anymore. But I'll tell you what, that was a cool business idea at the time, and I respect it. All right. We'll do it tomorrow. Email your questions in jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.